Secretary's speech is over here in near final draft, and the very final one will be over here. Do you want to see it before it goes? It's not in substance different from what you saw when it was at possible use over here.
Yes, I'd like to look at it. Send me a copy of it. Where is he going to make it tomorrow?
He's going to make it today at lunchtime.
All right, good. Yes, send it up.
All right. And I have got from Marv Watson the draft of the UN thing. Do you want to talk about that this afternoon with Ruskin McNamara, or do you want to keep it over here, or what
from
do you
from what is it now?
The yesterday's draft of the UN, your UN speech, your San Francisco speech.
I thought Bill was working on what's Marv Watson done with.
He gave me one that Bill said you wanted me to get yesterday afternoon. Now maybe it's been changed since then.
I don't know. I don't know about it. I haven't seen it. I just told him generally what I want him to do, and Rusk was going to spend some time on it when he got through with his speech.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, some generalities, wish him happy birthday, and that's about all I want. I don't see any reason to go into it in our meeting this afternoon. What's that call for?
Bombing schedule and one or two other technical things, and one or two things we'd like to talk about more generally, both about Vietnam, and I want also to get a chance to bring you up to date on the Dominican Republic with Rusk there, because that's going quite well. And there is also a kind of a question of what our posture is toward the Russians and the Chinese in the next few weeks that we just ought to hear each other on. The only deciding issue of decision is where do we bomb in the next week or so.
Get me up what you think is an agenda. Any reason why we shouldn't make that, put that on the record?
None whatever. I want it for you to decide.
I think I would, and I would broaden the group whoever you want. Now, if you're going to have anything on Dominican Republic, I'd have Man Bone let them leave, but put them on the record.
Right.
If you're going to have anything on Southeast Asia, I'd have Bill Bundy and whoever you want. Maybe McNamara wants to bring his boy that's going out there with Lodge, whatever his name is.
McNaughton.
On Russia, I guess you'd want Tommy Thompson, wouldn't you? And I would just, I would have that group so it doesn't look like
wiping it out, right?
We've started canceling. I don't understand, for the last two or three meetings, our lunches. I think it's good to get back to them and have a definite date. So
we'll just set them for Tuesday from now on.
And yes, and we can bring in whoever we want to bring in for that particular thing.
Right.
And I would.
Is lunch the best time to do that? I'm not sure the late afternoon with people coming in and out isn't better, Mr. President. It's whatever you prefer, obviously.
I don't care. Lunch suits me. It doesn't make a difference. We'll see if you want to talk
about
it.
Let's try it this afternoon and see how it goes.
All right, and give George the list right quick,
because
he's meeting. Now, the Anderson meeting's any reason why that shouldn't be on the record?
None whatever.
And he wants to bring his assistant, what's his name?
John Irwin. And there'll be two or three other people. There's Steve Ailes for the Army and Tom Mann with Rusk and so forth.
All right, now
I get the list of that.
Get those to George now, so we got some on the record stuff.
Right.
For today. Anything else?
No, you got the analysis of the Kennedy speech, did you, that I sent up last night? I think that's about right.
You might tell George what comment
Fred Dutton wrote it.
They'll be asking what makes you think that.
Butch Fisher is pretty sure of it, and he's the one who's heard most about it from the disarmament circles.
Well, it's making a difference.
No.
I guess it's kind of helpful to us.
85% of it is out of the record. One or two, if you were going to have said something yourself on Saturday that it does harm. There are one or two things that ought not to have been out of the executive circle that aren't terribly big, but that were in secret memos to you and that were really in-house stuff. But 90% of it is...
come out of disarmament or come out of Gilpatrick?
Not Gilpatrick, I would say, because the particular things were not in the Gilpatrick circuit. I think it comes out of consultants to disarmament whose idea it may have been in the first place, who don't care who they tell. In a sense, not a very naughty thing to do, but... I had to guess be Roger Fisher, but just a guess.
Who is Roger Fisher?
Roger Fisher is a professor of law at Harvard and a good, conscientious guy, but passionate for his subject, and if he can get anyone to hear him, he makes his speech.
We were told by a newspaper man about a week ago that the senator had the Gilpatrick report and was going to take portions of it and make a speech on it, and that he wanted to establish an independent posture. that he'd like to find something that he could kind of disagree on a matter of principle, mm-hmm. as he had demonstrated. That could be expected.
Mm-hmm.
I did not say anything about it because I didn't care, and I think it's all right for him to be making that kind of speech. I didn't say
sure.
anything in it that hurt us. I,
no.
I believe that if it were a communist agent or editor or Alsop or an enemy, incidentally, I hope you'll see what Alsop's writing and write it down, because that's your old friend, and see
yeah.
that
see
how I don't know what criteria you use for those friendships, but he's my old friend too, and I just I never heard of the stuff he's talking about, his B-52. They've just put out everything they wanted to over there, and nobody that I know of has stopped.
I don't read it that way, Mr. President.
I think it's blackmail. That's what I read it as. I think pure blackmail. I think he wants some secrets that he's not getting, and I don't think he ought to get anything. But he's talking about our B-52 and what Johnson is trying to keep them secret. And I never kept anything secret. I thought they told him everything they knew, at least.
More than they knew. More than they knew, and that was the trouble.
Well, the cable I got, if it's true, the newspaper men are pretty bad off, but I didn't argue with them, don't want to, but the cable that I saw come in from out there.
According to Zorthian, the trouble that we got into on this was that the story got run away with in Washington, and that made the newspaper men in Saigon furious, and then they began cutting at us the way they do by saying this was no damn good, and we puffed it up and so forth. Talked with Bob about it, and he agrees that he's got another one. That's another subject he'll be bringing up this afternoon. If we do another one, we ought to do it very deadpan and just have it in operation out there and treat it in a cool way, just the way Joe says we ought to, and we think we do. I mean, I think he is wildly overstating it. He's got this bee in his bonnet that the right way to do this is to allow everybody in the government to leak their honest opinions to him so that that can back you up. Well, that, of course, in the particular case of Vietnam, where he's on our side, it wouldn't do any harm, but as a principle of government, it's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I think as a principle, any time that we leak to any columnist on these matters, it's bad policy.
Yeah.
I think he's right on that. I think that Johnson does not feel that the war plans ought to be turned over to the Alsops. I think you ought to be awfully discreet.
Yeah.
As long as you associate with me, what you say to him oughtn't to be anything except what I think
right.
ought to be said to him.
That's
and
right.
I'd let him know that.
He knows that.
That you can be a good friend, but that you cannot.
He knows that at very tough moments, I wouldn't even, there have been periods where I wouldn't see Joe for that reason, and he knows perfectly well that I'm turning the subject off when I don't want to talk about it.
And these people that rarely destroy us, I would say my people, spend half the days with them. I looked the other day in New York Times and spent 4 hours and 25 minutes that day with my people preparing to castrate me. And the Teddy White thing the same way. And I issued instructions for nobody in my office to ever talk to Teddy White, because he was not a man that would tell the truth, and I'd found it out in 60, and I refused to see him. Yet they all sat around and talked to him. Just have to figure out what you'd do if you were in my place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you get whoever you want that afternoon meeting, and
I will.